earnestly hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome one, welcome all to the football edition of the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. You are on with your boy, I'll be sure. I'm so excited because it's August. It's almost September. The Tech Boys are back in town, and I got the whole gang with me. This year on the Air Raid Podcast, we got a full deck in store for you. First off, first person I got to introduce is my right-hand man, my guy, the producer, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dylan?
What a do, baby. Football is back. Sorry, Tyler, I stole your intro. What a do, baby. Yeah, football's back. We had a game the other night. I'm pumped. Football season, the Air Raid Podcast, sounding better than ever. If you haven't noticed, we're going to be coming at you 2 days a week. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Dylan's done a really good job of producing everything. If he wasn't, you already know I would say he sucks at his job. But unfortunately, he doesn't, so I really can't have too many jokes. But he still sounds terrible, so there's that. I will be hosting one episode, as always, a week. The other host I have with me is Jeremy Gillen. Y'all know Jeremy. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, Albert? What's up, Dylan? And what's up, two of the guys we'll introduce later? It's getting crowded in here. But it's going to be good. I love it. I'm excited to talk football. There's a lot of questions coming up, and we will not have the right answers. But we're going to speculate wildly and have a great time.
Jeremy, you just love foreshadowing. You love foreshadowing. This is the reason why we have you on a show is away from me. Because I can't deal with you. I can't take you. And so I specifically requested get you the heck away from me when I'm doing this. But, you know, we had to do the preview one. So you're on here with us now. It is what it is.
Respectable.
So next up is our guy. He's usually on with me. Y'all all know him. It is Jacob Harris. What's up, Jacob?
What's up? I'm glad you didn't introduce me last. That would have been pretty embarrassing.
That would have been embarrassing. And who does come last and probably least is our new addition, Tyler. He's been on a couple Air Raid podcast episodes. So I know you know him. But Tyler, say what's up to the people.
Straight up last, man. Just like Baker Mayfield's going to finish this year.
Man. Hot takes. I mean, you know, talking crap about the Browns isn't exactly the hottest of takes. But, you know, people love them this year, so I respect the beef. All right, so basically, guys, this episode is the season preview for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. The reason why I got all the whole gang with me, all my boys with me, the squad with me, you know, just let out a collective, yeet, yeet.
Yeah.
I about said thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all are, oh my God, I'm never doing this again. First off, guys, let's talk about the main thing. New coaching staff. Kingsbury is gone. The quarterback whisperer, who is really good at producing good quarterbacks, as we were talking pre-pod, really bad at producing wins. But we now have Matt Wells, the We Us Are program. First off, Jeremy, what do you think about this new coaching staff? What changes can we expect?
I want to say a complete overhaul, but that's just not true. I think fundamentally Matt Wells comes in with a really disciplined mindset. I think that's something that all Tech fans can just appreciate off the get-go, getting tired of the silly penalties. So we're just going to try to get that under control, really operate on a foundational 50-50 kind of split, although Tech fans are wild for the air raid, so we can certainly expect a lot more passing than running. But Matt Wells is a big run guy. He believes that, you know, to win in November, you got to win in the run game. So expect those runs.
Expect those runs indeed. What about you, Jacob? What do you have to say about it?
I think something to expect at least is a better fourth quarter. I know that Kevin Sumlin didn't have a great fourth quarter the other night, but I feel like a big upgrade that Matt Wells had that Kingsbury didn't was his ability to kind of close things out, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most. So I hope that's what everyone else is too. So,
Dylan, what can you expect from Matt Wells and company this season?
Kind of like Jeremy said, it's not in scheme, it's attitude. I think it's going to be discipline. It's going to be how he talks to these guys, how he deals with these guys on a day-to-day basis, because the offense is going to look pretty similar and the defense is going to look pretty similar with just a couple of tweaks here and there.
Tyler, since you've been a good sport, this will be the last time I go for you last. What's up, Tyler? What do you think about this, the new changes?
One word, physicality. That's what I want to see. I want to see guys smash mouth up against the football. I want to see defense flying to the ball. I want to see offense. You know, we're going to bring it to them. And none of this finesse stuff. I want to just run through some guys.
Run through some guys. So you expect big changes because that wasn't Kingsbury's team at all the past six seasons. For me, I think the main change is discipline. Discipline, I think, is the main change. I don't expect us to lead the league or lead the conference in penalties anymore. Will we be talented? I don't know, but at least I don't think we'll make the mistakes that we were making previously. And a lot in college football, that a lot of the times is more important than talent. Eventually talent comes, but when you're disciplined in college football more than anything else, it helps. So it is time to talk about the players. And let's get to the offense side of the ball, the fun stuff. Let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to some of our key returners. So I'm gonna start with you this time, Tyler. Who are some key returners? Who are you looking for? Who's somebody that you know makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside?
Can I start with the entire offensive line? Is that a cop out?
It is a cop out. It's a cop out. Like five guys.
I guess everybody's pretty well aware that I think Jack Anderson's probably the best player on the team. I'm looking forward to seeing him and seeing how Wells uses him because of the versatility there. He can play a lot of places on the line and plug up some holes. So I'm ready to see that.
What about you, Jeremy? What are you excited to see from some of our returners?
Man, I think somebody who I could have good feels about is TJ Vasher. Somebody that didn't really shine in the way that I was hoping he would last year, and I think this year he's going to make a lot more of an effort to be that guy for Texas Tech's receiving game, especially since he's like the most, seasoned guy that we have at this point in terms of play time.
True. Dylan, what do you say?
You know, I like the offensive line answer. I think TJ Vasher is a good answer, but I'm going to go with the most obvious answer of them all, Alan Bowman. I think he has the most to prove out of any player in the Big 12 this season. And I think he's up to the challenge. If he stays healthy, he's going to have an incredible year.
I feel like that's actually even a bigger cop-out answer than the O-line answer. Like, oh, yeah, the star quarterback that we all love and like, he's going to be really good.
There was a little take in there. The most approved. Oh, the Big 12.
Oh, God. Jacob, what do you say?
I say this. See, you gave out one cop out answer with a quarterback, one with a receiver, one lineman. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with the running back, Tayshaun Henry, my man. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. He's gonna be able to run through the tackles. He's not just a Stockton 2.0 like everyone thought he might be. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do this year.
And he's going to lose a lot of carries to Armon Shine.
Well, I will say that y'all literally took every returner we had, so I don't have an answer. That's everybody. Like Jack Anderson
I'll,
and the
I'll give
O-line,
you an answer.
TJ
I'll give
Basher.
You an answer.
My answer would have been a cop-out answer. It would have been Alan Bowman. I mean, the team runs. Wow. I was just giving a hard time. Like, Alan Bowman is the answer. Listen, this team goes as far as Alan Bowman goes. Like, the fact of the matter is it is what it is. I agree that Jack Anderson's the best player on the team. Him and Jordan Brooks anyway. We'll get to defense later. But this team goes as far as Alan Bowman goes. If Alan Bowman ends up being one of the best second team all Big 12 or whatever, then the team will be a 7-5 team or an 8-4 team. If he ends up, not playing and we have to trot out Jet Duffy, well, guys, we can't wait till basketball season. Like,
hashtag Tanner Hype.
Let's not do that. That's the basis of this team. So I think Alan Bowman is the key returner. You got some crap to say about it, Dylan?
Wow, what a cop-out answer.
I mean, hey, it is. It can cop-out answers and true. It can be true many times, all right?
I was going to try and give you Kayshon Carter, but you went ahead and stole my answer, which was a cop-out, apparently.
Hey, well, stealing intellectual property is not the worst thing in the world. Okay, don't let your journalism teacher tell you any different. So now, guys, I want to transition on, still on the offense. New starters. I want you to give me a player to look out for that we don't already know. And I'm going to start with you, Big Mouth Dylan.
Well, this is an interesting answer because we do kind of know him, but he's a redshirt freshman. So Eric Izukanma, I mean, the last staff was so high on him that I don't think they wanted to redshirt him, but we had some good receivers last year, and this staff is just as high on him. I expect him to garner a lot of carries and get a lot of looks opposite TJ Vasher.
Eric, I like that answer. He was supposed to be a stud receiver out of high school. I mean, he was only last year that he, you know, had a redshirt season. It's not like he's a bust or anything like that, but it'll be interesting to see what he does in his second season at Tech. Jeremy, what do you think?
It's hard to answer because it's like, hey, who don't you know at this point in the summer? It seems like everybody's been kind of dug up. But I think somebody you absolutely need to know going into the season is McLean Mannix. Like somebody who is a solid receiver, but from Nevada, has come to a school that is known for its, known for its air raid and known for its passing game. This guy is going to shine, and he's already been kind of making waves in practice. So it's going to be really exciting to see if he can translate the amount of success, at least proportionally, from Nevada to Texas Tech. And, you know, if Alan Bowen stays healthy and all that, like this could be a really good connect that could serve us extremely well in tight situations. So, kind of like the Jason Moore.
So I was on,
but not a tight
I
end.
Was on the Burnt Ornations podcast, and I talked about McLean Mannix because he has been talked about all the time, and I think he's going to be the next great wide receiver for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. I do, you know, we love our little white slot receivers, and I think he's next up.
Yeah,
feels like it. Jacob. So who's the guy to look out for you?
The guy anchoring the middle of the offensive line, most likely Dawson Deaton at this point. I think he's the guy. He played a lot of different positions last year. He's real versatile. That's what I like about him. So let's hope he can fill Paul Stewart's shoes.
So you're just gonna go all lineman this whole episode?
What you talking about? I went with Tayshaun Henry last time.
Oh, that's true. That's right. I got y'all mixed up. My bad. My bad. That's my fault. All right. So, but no, I do like that. I do like that pick for sure. So for me, I mean, is the guy that, you know, I mean, before I say his name, any player in 2019 that has red dreads in his official photo, suit photo, is going to be a beast. So give me Xavier Martin. He's got his dreads gone, and they're dyed red. I think he's going to have a really good season. He went back to he tried out again at quarterback for a little bit. Coach Wells gave him an opportunity to say, hey, man, let's see what you can do at quarterback. And Coach Wells found out the same thing Kingsbury did. Got to get him a quarterback. But I do think he can be a really good slot receiver. He's a really athletic guy, a double-tool guy. And then also he's another guy that, you know, Wells didn't do this too much at Utah State, but it does give you the opportunity, ability to do some wildcat, to do some jet sweeps when you can with the potential of a run. I think Xavier Martin could be utilized in this offense, especially since, well, y'all kind of took Izukanma and Mannix. So Xavier Martin for me, for sure. So as we go, you know, as we kind of talk about the offense, and that definitely is something that's big, what Tech is known for, all the returners are kind of on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, if last coaching staff was still here, this will actually probably be the most excited I've been for the defensive side of the ball in a long time, because the only guy we really lost was Dakota Allen. But everybody else is still here. So that's one thing that's good. And speaking of everybody else that's still here, who is the main returner that you were just ecstatic for, Jeremy?
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you picked first. Okay, defense is my jam. I'm pinning it right now. Adrian Fry is the best defensive player we have. And there's close seconds, but there's no chance that anybody's going to outdo Adrian Fry this year. This is one versatile man who is going to add just what we need on the pass defense this year. I am excited. I'm so excited.
All right. So, Jacob, what do you think about a defensive guy that you're excited for?
Well, I think I'm going to pick the four-year returning starter, my man at linebacker, anchoring the middle of the defense, Jordan Brooks. He's probably going to lead the team in tackles. I think he's gonna be the QB of the defense, and I think he'll be one of the best players we got this year overall.
Way to really jump out of the ledge there and pick Jordan Brooks, the leading returning tackler on the team. You really were bold with that one.
Yeah, I know.
I think that Jack Anderson is the best player on this team, tied with Jordan. I think Jordan Brooks is severely underrated by all types of media, local media, regional media, national media. Like, people act like not that he's a scrub, but like he's not basically this year's version of Dakota Allen. You know,
I just don't think he's flashy enough for everybody. So. That's my opinion.
I mean,
on
he
that.
Doesn't get the interceptions Dakota Allen does, yeah. But I still think that he's. I think he's a better run stopper than Dakota Allen was.
No, agreed.
So, well, Dylan, what do you think? Who is your main returner coming back for the defense?
Well, Jeremy stole my answer. I'm Adrian Fryhive, and I was last year. I think behind Jordan Brooks, he's the best player on our defense, and. Like Jeremy alluded to, I guess he's going to write something up on it, but he is moving to safety, which shows his versatility, and that's what Keith Patterson defense is all about. So I wanted to pick Adrian Fry. If I didn't pick Adrian Fry, I'd pick Jordan Brooks. For the hell of it, I'm going to pick Eli Howard. Eli Howard will be the sack leader for Texas Tech this season, and we need him. We need him to do that. So Eli Howard coming off the edge, that's my pick.
So, guys, and I knew this was going to happen. Like, you pick the star of the secondary, Adrian Fry. You pick the star of the linebacking crew, Jordan Brooks. And then you pick the star of the D-lineman, Eli Howard. So I knew I'd have the toughest selection here. But I do have a lot of people to choose from. Like I said, we got a lot of returners that are really, really good. One thing is that, as I've talked about it before, Desmond Smith's been my boy. I like him a lot at right there at corner. I think Desmond Smith is due for a very good big year. Rico Jeffers. I mean, I think he's a bona fide leader. Like, they follow Rico Jeffers, and I think he's in. Now that he doesn't necessarily have a guy like Dakota Allen in his way to keep him from reps, he's going to be that guy that I think is just laying the hammer frequently. But you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with Broderick Washington because that's a bad, bad boy.
Yes.
Broderick Washington's a bad, bad boy. Very good run stopper. And he's surprisingly a very good pass rusher from the tackle position. And so as we go to a multi-D set and as we go to a 3-4, he's going to be playing more of a DN style as opposed to straight up on the guard or the center. So I think him playing that 4 technique DN or 3 or 4 technique DN, I think he's going to really be able to get in between some of those guards and tackles. I think he's probably going to have the most sacks he's ever had just from this new defense. So, Broderick Washington, man, I'm excited for what he can do. And so, just like we did for the offense, got to do the same thing for the defense. And the difference is a little bit tougher because there's not as many new guys on the defensive side. But, Dylan, do you have a new guy that you're excited to see?
I think there's a handful of new guys. There's 3 grad transfers that I think are going to start and are maybe, if not start, compete for reps. And the first one being Evan Rambo. He's going to play the new, what do they call it, the Raider position in Keith Patterson's defense. It's kind of that hybrid linebacker safety position. And he played both linebacker and safety at Cal. So he's got the versatility to do it. He's got experience. And they've got 2 years with Evan Rambo. And I think he could be really good for Keith Patterson's defense.
That's a good spot. That Raider position is going to be very unique. Something that a lot of casual Tech fans aren't going to be familiar with. It's going to be like, who the heck is that guy? But I do agree that he's going to be a wild card for opposing offenses. You know, what is he doing? What is going to be his thing when you're scouting the Texas Tech defense? How are you going to be able to kind of absorb him and be able to plan against him? So I definitely think he could potentially be due for a big year. Jacob, who do you have?
I got another guy kind of in the secondary, brand new guy actually from Utah State, as a matter of fact. Name is Jamarcus Ingram. He is a grad transfer. I still think he's got 2 years left. He'll play immediately. I feel like he's going to start some point at safety. And I don't know if that moves Douglas Coleman to the bench or if it moves Adrian Fry back to corner. We'll see. But I think this guy walked on to Utah State and pretty much immediately started Had two really good years there, and then had an unfortunate incident that kind of had him kicked off the team, and Coach Wells has given him a second chance here. So I'm really excited to see what he can do on the field, and I think he'll be a good one for us.
So for the first time, and as long as I can remember, probably even since the Leach years, this is a deep secondary. Like, this is an extremely deep secondary. You talked about it with Ingram. Thomas Leggett is now, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to see playing time. McPherson's going to see playing time. We're top heavy in secondary and deep in secondary. I'm not really sure how much PT he's going to get, but like you said, Patterson, I should say, must like something in him to continually give him these chances. And, you know, we'll see. I think that's a good pick. Jeremy, you got another good pick in you?
My pick for newcomer is going to be Zach McPherson. It's coming to us from Penn State. I have a lot of respect for Penn State as a program. So naturally, having somebody come from Penn State to Texas Tech, for whatever their reasons, I am immediately drawn to that. Zach McPherson coming in as a defensive back, playing cornerback at Penn State, most likely translating to cornerback here. It could be really good for Texas Tech. He's offering a lot of versatility at the position, and he just has a high IQ as a football player.
I have a feeling that you had no idea who you were going to pick until I said Zach McPherson's name just a second ago.
Totally. Yeah.
100%.
I remember how much research I did. He's really good.
The Air Raid podcast unedited would sound a lot different. Let's just.
Dylan, can you please save Jeremy? Who do you have?
You already asked me. Move on.
Oh, did I? Who the hell did you pick?
Evan Rambo.
You did. I went to you first. My bad.
And we are keeping this, so continue.
Yes, please. Please continue.
It's you, Alvin.
All right. For me, I'm going to go to the D-line because y'all seem to neglect the D-line so many times. I'm going to go to the D-line, and just as much as I think the secondary is deep, I think defense has a lot of – it can be deep, but a lot of guys that we just don't know about. And so the main person that I'm going to go with is going to be Noah Jones. I'm really curious to see if he's really going to bounce and get a lot of playing time this year, how much playing time he's going to get. Because he's a big guy, 6'3", 285. He's a big guy, athletic guy that can really get after the quarterback. But I'm really curious to see whether he will reach his potential or will he get beat out by Nelson and Banasore, who has been a guy that's been lengthy and get ready to go from the jump. So one of those two guys is going to make an impact. It's a question of which one. My money right now is on Noah Jones, but it could easily be in Banasore. So that's a nice little twofer on your head tops. So next, let's go to the other side of the ball that's really only infuriating. Like, very rarely do, you know, when you have a quality special teams unit, is it recognizable for fans, right? Unless you're a Virginia Tech fan. Very, very rarely is recognizable. You really just want guys that aren't going to screw up. So, Dylan, you know, can you give me a guy that's just not going to screw up? Like, are we screwed here or what?
We're talking about special teams?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not the kickers. Matt Wells still isn't very confident about the kickers. Still your fault. I know Leggett, the defensive player Leggett, played a lot in special teams last year, always showed up. It's punting and kicking. I don't pay too much attention to it. But when I did, Leggett was there. So I think Thomas Leggett. Give me him.
Yeah. Jacob, you watch the team more than anybody when it comes to these stupid things. Jacob, who do you think is going to be the main one in the special teams unit?
Well, last year at times we had really, really good punting, and that kind of kept us in games. And I think our new guy, Austin McNamara, is going to come right in and fill the shoes of Dom Panizzolo. I think he's going to do a real good job for us, and I think he'll be a four-year starter here at punter. So that's the guy I'm looking for. Got to flip the field on him.
Four-year punter. That's what we really need. Who knows? He may even leave school early. He may be so great. It's like, I don't need this. I need to go make millions.
Whoa. Calm down.
Jeremy, what do you have? Do you actually have an answer this time? I didn't give you any options.
I have. Oh, hell. I have an answer. Don't worry. So I have one answer, and I have one, like, let's not forget.
I'm regretting this already.
So if we know anything about Texas, it's that Westlake produces athletes. Now, whether you feel they're good athletes or bad athletes, Westlake out of Austin produces athletes.
They literally
athletes.
Only produce so kickers and quarterbacks. Like, that's literally it.
So right. So the kicker, Gabriel Lozano from Westlake in Austin, Texas, might be our guy this year. Might be. Because I'm still, you know, The jury's still out on whether or not they produce actual athletes. But my do not forget is that I really believe that Adrian Fry, if he has his way and if he proves to be good, might end up being our star punt returner this year. And star in the respect of he'll actually return the ball.
Well, I will say, Jeremy, you kind of told my guy, because I was going to say Adrian Fry, and not, but except for a different reason. I don't think he's going to return the ball at all. I think they want Adrian Fry out there because they're like, dude, we just need you out there to not muff a punt. That's it. I think that he's going to be one of those guys. Usually you see this when it comes to your star secondary player. Like when you have a star secondary player out there, it's because he's the guy that's just not going to make the mistake. So it's like, hey, man, we don't need you to be a star returner. We don't need you to be this incredible athlete. We just really need you to save the 20 yards we may lose by letting the ball roll back every time. Just catch the ball, and that's it. So I think
Patrick Peterson would like a word.
Yeah, well, Patrick Peterson is a little different. But even Patrick
Peterson. Tyrann Mathieu would like a word.
Even Patrick Peterson, as far as in the NFL, anytime he's been out there, most time he just fair catches it. Now, you know, if Adrian Fry becomes this otherworldly special teams player, then my bad. But at the same time, if he was this otherworldly special teams player, we would have probably seen that before last year, right? So I'm going to say Adrian Fry, but I'm going to give you an extra one because you kind of stole my guy before. And I'm going to give you the only kicker that actually has experience, Jonathan Garibay. All right, Jonathan Garibay, I think, is going to be the main one that is going to eventually win this. And you know what? He may not even win it initially. Maybe one of your crappy guys are going to come in. Maybe Gabriel Lasagna will be the guy. He has the whiff in his hair. Right? He looks like a kicker. And then he goes out there and misses like three against UTEP. We lose that game. And then they're like, you know what, Jonathan Garibay, go in there. And then he rattles off 40 field goal kicks in a row.
If we lose to UTEP, I don't think Matt Wells is leaving the field.
$5 tickets the rest of the year.
That's what I'm talking about. We're down. They're all getting donated to the YWCA. so as we get towards the end of this podcast, and it's really not the end because this is really the biggest, the most important thing of this whole. This is the reason why people are listening to us. They want to know our predictions. That way they can come back to us at the end of the year and tell us how dumb we are. That's how social media works. So Jeremy, because I like making fun of you the most, I want everybody to give us, first off, your offensive player of the year. Jeremy, you go first. Who is your top dog? Who's the guy that's going to be the most important offensive player by the end of the year? Who is it?
Oh, it's Alan Bowman. It's just Alan Bowman. That's it.
That's okay. It's Alan Bowman. All right. I mean, you know, no reason for it, anything like that. Just, okay. Jacob, you got anybody else?
I mean, do I have to? I mean, that's kind of the obvious answer, isn't it?
Who knows? I don't know how good he's gonna be.
I think I'll actually give you a reason though.
Thank you.
We go as far as him, not only because he's probably one of the best offensive players on this team, but look who we got behind him. I mean, do you trust running back Jet Duffy, or backup Rice quarterback Jackson Tyner?
McIver could be playing. He could play. He could get me healthy.
McIver's got a broken foot, though. I mean,
yeah, but you know, you act like a broken foot has ever really hurt a quarterback.
Matt Wells said he could be back by November for frame of reference.
Okay, great. In the meantime, whenever we're playing Jet Duffy and losing games again, that's why I think Bowman's the guy. He's got to be the guy. Okay, everywhere else we got some decent depth. Everywhere else, but if we lose him, we're done. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're done without him. All right.
I respect your answer because it's not who you think is going to be player of the year. It's in your mind who has to be player of the year for this year to be any good.
So exactly. Exactly.
I respect that very much. So, Dylan, what do you say?
Yeah, no cute answers here. It's Alan Bowman, and I'll give you a spicy take to go along with it. Alan Bowman's the most talented quarterback in the Big 12, and I know Brock Purdy is in the discussion as well. I think both of these guys are going to be really good NFL quarterbacks one day.
No love for Jalen Hurts?
Well, Jalen Hurts, too, and then we can talk about Sam Ellinger, but he's the next Tim Tebow. He'll flame out real quick. But I think Alan Bowman... Yeah, I don't care what name you throw at me. Alan Bowman may be the most talented quarterback in the Big 12, and we go as far as Alan Bowman will take us. So And then, yeah, the lingering backup situation's a nightmare. So, Alan Bowman.
So, Alan Bowman's, like all of you said, is the only answer. I'll put it like this. It's exactly what Jacob said. He has to be the answer, right? Like, that. It's not that he's 100% he's going to be the answer. I mean, he's an injury-prone guy. There's really no way around. I know, no doubt about that. But he has to be the answer. If it's not him, I think Tazon Henry's going to have a pretty good year. But it has to be Alan Bowman. And so, yeah, that's the right choice. We're all going to be right by the end of this. Because if it's not Alan Bowman, then, yeah, 3-9, here we come, right? Defensive player of the year. Dylan, I'll let you go first. Who is the main guy on defense that you think is going to win? And I think it's a little bit difficult because, like we talked about, a bunch of stars on that side. Who is the main guy you think is going to be the defensive player of the year for you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I had to debate with myself what this answer was. You know, Jordan Brooks is a good answer. Rico Jeffers is a good answer. Broderick Washington, Eli Howard. But I'm going to go back to my guy, Adrian Fry. You know, we talked about him earlier. I think he's the captain of the defense. If he's moving to safety, he'll step right in and play just like Deshaun Johnson did, if not better. Yeah, Adrian Fry, he's got to be the captain of the defense behind Jordan Brooks. With Keith Patterson's 3-3-5, that's a lot of defensive backs on the field, and he needs to be a step above the rest.
Step above, for sure. Jeremy, who do you have? Defensive player of the year.
I'm going to take Jacob's technique here. I think Jordan Brooks really needs to seal this up. You alluded to it earlier. Like, he's some guy who's consistently been underrated. And even last year, statistically better than Dakota Allen, but doesn't have the same backstory, you know, doesn't have the dreads, doesn't have the curb appeal, but like, he gets it done.
You have to have dreads to get curb appeal?
I would love, that's it. People love it. And so, like, for him to just have a stellar year and to earn defensive player of the year would just kind of be the best way to just like put this whole thing in a seal, you know? So Jordan Brooks is my defensive player of the year.
When it comes to talking about big returners before, y'all kind of went down the line in each position. Are you going to do the same thing, Jacob? Or you're going to repeat somebody or give us somebody new?
Let's think. Yeah, no. I'm going to go with somebody that has been quiet, has played for, this will be his fourth year playing. Go with my man Desmond Smith.
Oh, okay.
I get it. Brooks is going to make the tackles. Fry is probably the best, flashiest player on the field. But Smith's going to quietly have a good season this year. And I think that hopefully he'll be able to lock down one of the opponent's best receivers. And, you know, that kind of help us win some games. So I'm going to go with Desmond Smith.
You don't even believe yourself when you say that. There's nothing about that, mate.
I'm not even confident he starts.
Yeah, you're not confident in that whatsoever.
Okay, no. I am confident Desmond Smith starts.
You can't say that Jordan Brooks is going to get all the tackles, but somehow Desmond Smith gets the defensive player.
And then
he's
like quietly. Like, he'll quietly do really well and get defensive player.
Yeah.
Hey,
Zach McPherson could start over him. Jamarcus Ingram can start over him. Douglas Coleman and Adrian Fry.
Jamarcus Ingram ain't going to be playing corner. And Zach McPherson.
They don't know who's playing corner at safety at this point.
That's true. Anyways.
But what they do know is that Adrian Fry is going to play a lot and he'll be defensive player of the year. Like, as much as I've talked really all offseason about how much I like Jordan Brooks, and I do, I think the defense is so suited for Adrian Fry's skill set. And then not only that, but safeties, especially in this day and age of football, have become, in college football, the most important player on the field, right? And especially in the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 where it's high-flying offenses, you're going to go up against Baylor. It's going to be a pretty potent offense this year. Oklahoma's always a potent offense. Texas is going to be a more potent offense. Iowa State, shockingly, is going to have a potent offense. So you know, I think Adrian Fry is going to be able to be in a position where he's getting just as many interceptions as he had last year, because if anything, you're not just surveying one side of the field like you were before. You kind of have all the entire field at your disposal. And then he's also able to lay the hammer, which we kind of saw a little bit last year too. So I think Adrian Fry is the most talented player on the deep, just most raw talent on the defense, in my opinion. And I think he'll be defensive player of the year for sure. I mean, saying he replaced Deshaun Johnson is a very accurate take, except he's more athletic, which is even better. So, I do like the cute answer though in Desmond Smith. That's a very cute answer, Jacob. I appreciate it. So we talked about newcomers. We talked about guys that we were on the lookout for. So we're talking about instead of guys we're on the lookout for, newcomers. First year at Tech, who is your first year guy? Jacob, I'll let you. Are you going to say a cute answer again, or are you going to give us somebody else? Somebody real.
I'm going to give you guys somebody real this time. All right, Tyrique Matthews. Yeah, look, he's going to play that new, I don't even know what they're calling it. It's a hybrid DN outside linebacker position that they're going to have in there. He's been playing it for 4 years in high school. He kind of played a similar scheme. He's going to be able to come in, already know how to play the position, while, you know, other guys behind him are going to kind of have to learn it. So I think he makes big moves. Big moves pretty fast, so I think he's the guy.
All right. Dylan, who you got?
I know nothing about the guy who Jacob just said, but every time I'm watching a press conference after camp, Matt Wells is talking about him, so he could be someone to watch for in the future too, which is exciting. But I kind of want to pick someone on the offense because, like, there's so many potential newcomers on the defense who can play really well.
I'm going to go back.
I'm going to go back to redshirt freshman Eric Izukanma. I really feel like there is some production to be replaced in the wide receiver room with the departures of Jadeon High and Anton Wesley. So production is needed in the wide receiver room. There's a lot of hands to fill it, but something tells me Eazy-E's got it, man.
I do question with this whole new redshirt rules, like, because he did play, he had a few plays last year, but like, does that count as a newcomer or no?
That declaration. I don't know if it's right or wrong.
No, I mean, it works in this podcast. I'm just saying in general.
I said what I said.
Like, if the Roger Thompson has, like, just an incredible year this year and it becomes the Big 12 Newcomer of the Year, is he eligible for the Big 12 Newcomer of the Year? Because, like, he played last
year. That's a good question. No clue. That is a good question.
You know, so, anyways. Jeremy, who do you have?
Dylan, you were so close. Jacob, not even close. Dylan, you were so close with picking a wide receiver. I think it obviously, newcomer of the year goes to McClain Mannix.
I know.
You know it.
You love the wide receivers. I got you.
You got to love the wide receiver, the guy, the sure hands, who's always going to be open. And it's just an easy, you know, easy dump pass, easy deep pass, whatever. He's going to get the ball. It's just going to be such a solid piece for Bowman to go to, especially when things start to break down. He'll be the guy getting open. He'll be the shifty one. I think McClain Mannix is going to be our newcomer of the year.
Very good pick in McClain Mannix. And it's probably the right pick, to be honest. But dude, every single time, every practice, I feel like his name gets brought up. McClain Mannix, he's freaky fast. He's freaky athletic. I think McClain Mannix, he unfortunately falls into the fact that he's surrounded by other freak athletes. Like, you have Keshawn Carter, you have Eric Izukanma, TJ Vasher, all in the same receiving room. And then there's McClain Mannix, who can easily run like a 4.5, but it's like, oh, I mean, you know, we see that all the time. You know, what's a 4.5? You know what I mean? So I feel bad for him in that respect. I mean, hell, Cameron Cantrell, I don't know if he's athletic, but his brother was, so I'm sure he has to be some type of. But I think McClain Mannix just killed it so much in camp that I gotta imagine he's gonna be really good. That's probably the right answer. But I'm actually gonna get cute here a little bit. I'm gonna do my best Jacob impression, and I'm gonna go with Armand Shine. How do you like them apples? All right. I'm going to go with Armon Shine because one thing I'll say with the running back room right now is that you have Taizon Henry, who had a pretty decent season as a true freshman, but he's still only, 19 years old. Sherrodrick Thompson, who's still only 19 years old. Armon Shine is a guy that comes in with experience, and he's going to be able to help out the two 19-year-old running backs and the 19-year-old quarterback. I think he's going to be – and he's a big boy. He's going to block, too, which is going to be huge for Bowman. I think he's probably going to be the guy you're going to see in third downs more than anybody else. Armon Shine, I think, is going to get more, be on the field more than Sherrodrick Thompson is going to be honest. But yeah, that's going to be my pick. But I do really like that Mannix pick, for sure.
Albie, I like your pick. I was going to give honorable mention to Armon Shine because just again, every single time you're watching Matt Wells after practice, he's talking about Armon Shine, and there's a chance he could start. He might be RB1 day one. I don't think he should be. I really like Taizon Henry, but he'll be a really nice change of pace back at the least.
Oh, I agree. I think, and I watched Shine. You tried to, Utah, he was good. Like, now he was a scrub at Utah and was like, oh, no, he was legitimately good. So, guy that averaged a little less than 5 yards a carry. Like, he guy can tote the ball. And like I said, he's a really good blocker. So, I'm a fan. I'm not on the Shine Hive just yet, but I'm inching towards there for sure. So let's get to the games a little bit. Upset of the year. I need a game. What game are you circling as the game where either Tech could pull off a big upset where it's like, man, we weren't expecting this, maybe at Oklahoma, or Tech gets upset? You know, is anybody going to call for that UTEP loss? Who's about it? What's the upset of the year, Dylan?
Oh, man, I really want to pick a win that's the upset of the year, but I don't see us beating Oklahoma. I don't see us beating Iowa State, and I don't see us beating Texas. Those are three of the losses on my list. It pains me to say it, but I think we could lose to West Virginia in Morgantown in November. November gets tough for us. That month is going to be trouble, and I'm scared of that game in Morgantown.
All right, Dylan or Jacob, who you got? What is your upset special?
Well, let's see here. I got us winning in Austin. Woo! And here's why.
Matt Wells doing his best Cliff Kingsbury impression. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and here's why. We got so much real estate in Austin. It's like South Lubbock for us. Right? We got this. Day after Thanksgiving, it's ours, all right? Honestly, since I've been a Red Raider, every time that we've marched down to Austin, since I've been a Texas Tech Red Raider, we have won. And I ain't not going to be a Texas Tech Red Raider for the rest of my life, so I'm just going to pick it every time. So we're going to win in Austin.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Jeremy, what do you have?
Circle October 19th on your calendars.
I knew it.
Iowa State. And let me tell you why. And let me tell you why this would be an upset. I think Iowa State's going to be a great team for a number of reasons. That's all the reason you need to know. But I think when they come to Texas Tech, no matter what our record is at the point, whether we're on our high or on a low, I am convinced that this year we'll finally shut up Iowa State fans.
And we'll beat them
at home in their best season. And that's what will make it an upset.
The most talented team they've ever had, arguably.
And they'll lose to us.
Arguably, they lost their two best players.
That's true. Right. And kept the entire defense. That was like top 20 nationally last year.
Right. So like
they lost like 70% of their offense. Just saying.
Right. But this is what makes it an upset.
That's okay. I mean, all those are good points. I'm hosting this, so I'm changing a rule for myself. So I got two games, and I'm gonna tell you the two. One, first one, we take an L. So the team that just lost to Hawaii, I think we're going to lose to Arizona.
No,
I think we're going to lose to Arizona. And I thought this beforehand. Now, I do feel better after watching them scrub it up against Hawaii. But I still think Tate's a good quarterback. And they, honestly, beginning of that game, they looked like trash. Arizona looked like complete trash. Tate got him back in the game, made it a game, almost won the game versus single-handedly. Arizona will be a better team here in 4 weeks. Like, they're going to be there, or 3 weeks, I should say. They're going to be better. They're not going to be as bad as what we just saw. And we still have a lot. I mean, when it comes to new coaches, the early in the season is usually where it takes a little bit of time to adjust. And that defense is tough. Like, that defense is hard to learn key patterns in defense because it's a multi-D. Even though it's a 3-3-5, it is a multi-D. It can easily turn into a 4-2-5. It can turn into a 4-3, a 3-4. It's a very difficult defense to learn. And so I don't know how smart any of our defensive players are. Like, we kind of know the talent levels of all these guys, but we don't know if they're, you know, they can really grasp all the things that Patterson is putting in, which is a big reason why, both on offense and defense, I think Wells is bringing a lot of his Utah State guys over, because at least knows they're smart. So I think that game is going to be one that I could easily see an upset. And then, you know what, I'm going to flip it, and I'm going to give us a road game that I can easily see a win at Baylor. I'm going to tell you why I think I can see a win. One, I plan on going to the game, so, you know, Tech guys, they love me. You know what I'm saying? They love your boy. So they're going to get a dub for Al. And two, Charlie Brewer is Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, and the fact that he can sometimes play like the best quarterback in the Big 12 and sometimes play like Jet Duffy. He has that ability to do both. Their defense still sucks like it always has, and it never will be good. But it's all in the offense, and Charlie Brewer does have a tendency to lay an egg. So I do think that the fact that there's a good chance that Tech fans could be infiltrating Waco, which would be awesome because we haven't been down there in a long time. And if Tech fans like myself, they just want to see the stadium and then also infiltrate Waco, we can also have another stadium in the state where we infiltrate and take over. We already do TCU, right? And so it would be great to also do that in Waco. So that's going to be my two upset specials that I like. And so before we get to end of the year predictions, I'm actually toss up one other question that y'all weren't even prepared for. Give me just the X factor game, the game that is going to really define Tech season, the game that they must win that'll define it. Jeremy, you're the picture that I'm seeing currently. So what game is that for you?
Even after the Hawaii game, it's going to be Arizona. That Hawaii game kind of means nothing to me because, you know, first game of the year, Sumlin, I don't know. It's just Hawaii is a long – if anybody's flown to Hawaii, that's a long way. I feel like Arizona is going to be that point where we realize kind of where this team is at. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's going to be the best litmus test of how the rest of the season will probably end up going. But then again, Matt Wells may be a really good – you know, in the same cases, Coach Beard might be a really good halftime kind of guy, might be able to turn the season around, even though we seem like we're in a downward trend. But for me, it's got to be the Arizona game.
Dylan, what about you? What's the big game for you?
I'm looking at week 5 against Oklahoma State. I think Arizona's a decent pick. But I just think Kevlin Sumlin is trash, and Khalil Tate feels robbed that Cliff Kingsbury didn't come with him because they need him. So I'm not too worried about the Arizona game, but I'm looking at our first home game in the Big 12, Oklahoma State. We're probably coming off a loss against Oklahoma, so we need that win on home on October 5th.
It's actually week 6, just to let you know. I think it's a good pick. I think it's good. At that point, Tech is either going to be 3-1 or 2-2, or if UTEP or Montana State pulls off the upset, 1-3. So definitely, I think it's a game that Tech's going to need to win. I like that pick right there. Jacob, do you have another one?
I do, and I kind of want to go back to what you just said, Albie. I would hate to copy your answer. Oklahoma State copy. Anyways, at Baylor is going to be the litmus test, and here's why. I know Matt Wells said this year it's about winning at home, but if you're going to be relevant in the Big 12, you got to win on the road, and I think that's a good matchup for us in the middle of the season, middle of Big 12 play. Because I mean, you look at our away schedule. You got Oklahoma, that's probably a loss. You got at Baylor, which is the game I'm talking about. You got at Kansas and at West Virginia. That should both be wins. You know, you never know. And then you got at Texas at the end of the season. Kind of see what this team culminates to. So that, to me, Baylor is a big one because it's kind of in the middle. You're looking at you know, you're probably coming off a big win or a big loss or a couple big losses. I think the game at Baylor will really be a litmus test to see what the rest of the season looks like for this team.
All right, I like that. I like that pick too. Yeah, you know, look at y'all getting smarter by the second. You know, good picks there. I'm gonna tell you which pick I am hyped for, and it's later in the season. It is later in the season, but give me Tech versus TCU at home. And I'm gonna tell you what, this. Well, first of all, those games are always good. Like Tech TCU, it's become my favorite rivalry in the Big 12 for Tech because the games are always good, and then also, these are the two teams that nobody knows what to expect from at all, right? Like, TCU was so bad offensively last year, and then their starting quarterback from last year, who was pretty bad, transferred. Problem with him being that bad is their backups were even worse. So we don't really – I don't even know if Patterson has – Gary Patterson has announced a starter yet for TCU. But their defense is going to be as good as always, but how good is that offense going to be? And that's kind of is Sonny Cumbie even going to have a job after the season if the quarterback's bad again? So to me, that's going to be an interesting one, especially if both offenses struggle, especially if Bowman becomes a hurt little one again, and we end up having to get my boy Jet out there, and it's once again Jet Hive bringing us to victory. You know, I think it's going to be an exciting game, an interesting game, and it could be the game that decides whether we go to a bowl or not. So speaking of bowls, we get through it. It's now down to it. We need your predictions, guys. Are we going to a bowl game? What's our record? Dylan, go first. What you looking at?
I think a bowl game isn't outside of the realm of possibility. It's tough for a first-year coach, but I'm looking at this schedule, and the only surefire losses I see are Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Texas. I'm not saying we're going to win 8 games, because I can almost guarantee you we lose to Baylor or West Virginia along the way. TCU's a little scary too. So I'm going to stand at 7-4, right on the fringe of bowl invitations. And if we go to a bowl, it'll be, you know, like the Texas Bowl or the Meineke Car Care Bowl. But a bowl game would be a nice, I'm fine with a bowl game for Matt Wells in his first season.
Are we going to tie a game? Or why are we going
to
7-4?
You only got 11 games there, buddy.
Well, 7 wins. So that means 5 losses?
Yeah, 5 losses.
There we go. 7-5.
Okay. President Chauvinet, please rescind his degree. All right. Jeremy, who do you have? What is our record at the end of the season?
I think our overall record will be, and I'm not afraid to say it, like Dylan, I think we will go 8-4. Because you know what? Nobody knows a damn thing about Matt Wells and Texas Tech together. So I am very optimistic, and I actually selected Tech to finish with an 8-4 record, and one of those losses is Arizona. I think the other two I decided on were, or the other three were Oklahoma State and Texas. That's where I think I landed. And I hope we go to the Texas Bowl. That's not a bad bowl. I like Houston.
So you think Texas going 8-4 and losing to Arizona?
Yes. I think it's a good bounce back opportunity.
Wow. I mean, that's a bold strategy. Win 8 games, yet lose to arguably the worst power conference team on our schedule. You know, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe hey. We'll do it. Jacob, what do you say?
I say we go 6-6 and split it right down the middle. We'll make it to a bowl, barely make it to a bowl. But yeah, I don't know. I'm hesitant to call 7-5 because this is a learning year for everyone on the staff, these players. I think there's going to be one game we should win. Not sure which one it is. One game we should win that the pre-Matt Wells Kingsbury era fourth quarter letdown comes back. It happens once Matt Wells chews everybody out. And then we're back to normal. So I feel like 6-6 is appropriate.
Well, you know what? I've been on a few shows lately, not air raid podcast shows, and I've talked about the fact that this is a difficult year. The Keith Patterson's defense is hard to learn. As good as I think our defense is, that's a very hard defense to learn. Davey Yost's offense is also can also be a difficult offense to learn. And I think one thing that helps Tech is that the schedule, the Big 12 is down this year. What we talked about, there's only three good teams in the Big 12, and that's just Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Texas. And outside of those three, everybody has question marks. West Virginia is going to be bad. I will say that. They're going to be a pretty bad team. And I think right now you're looking at West Virginia as in name only, but that game is in Morgantown. So that makes it more difficult. Kansas State, I don't know how. I don't like their coach, but they're actually bringing in a lot of people back. Are we already talking about TCU? Hell, Kansas. This is probably the most talented Kansas team they've had in a decade. You know, and so it's a very odd schedule for Tech, but I do think the Big 12 is down. But the problem is there's no gimmies anymore. Like, and kind of what I was talking about with Kansas and K-State. There's no gimmies anymore. All this whole time I've been talking about that I think Tech's going to go 5-7. I've said it from the very, like almost every podcast I've been on. I said Tech's probably going to go 5-7. Damn it, Wyatt Wells, you finally got to me. I'm going to say 6-6. I'm going to go with Jacob here, and I'm going to say 6-6. I look at the schedule and I say, if we do lose to Arizona, we maybe recoup it with a Baylor win, like I was talking about earlier, right? If we lose to Kansas, we may recoup it with a West Virginia win. Every game that I see us losing, I also see us winning a game we probably shouldn't. And so that's the reason why I think I'm going to split down the middle 6-6. Not only that, but every coach for Tech in their first year wasn't too bad. They got a pretty solid roster, and they weren't too bad. Even Kingsbury. Kingsbury's best season was his first one, right? And so that's why I think Wells has been given a decent roster. His offense and defense are a little complex, but he's been given a decent roster and a down Big 12, make a bowl game. Because if he does, but at the same time, man, I've just been so pessimistic about this team for the past 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, that my spirits are pretty low, and so I'm just used to 5-7. But y'all got me. Matt Wells got me. Us are 6-6. Let's go to the is this still called the Heart of Dallas Bowl? What is it called now? Let's go to the Cotton Bowl.
I think it's a First Responders Bowl.
Is it un-American for me to say that name sucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
The name sucks, but I don't know if that's going to be like have some blue stripe guy in my DMs later. You know.
We should do a pod on the worst bowl game names. There's so many great ones.
That would be a 3-hour-long pod. Like there's only five good ones. Right? It's like just the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl, and like that's it. Everyone else sucks. But anyways, yeah, 6-6 is what I got. But I will say this: four guys in the pod, and R.I.P. Tyler, but other four guys in the pod, and we all picked us to go to the bowl game. So there's that. So you know. Good job, Matt Wells. Y'all got a...
We us our program. He sold us on an average season.
Yeah. He's already done more than Kingsbury has. Already done more than Kingsbury has. So there's that. There's that. I think I predicted 5-7 for us last year, actually. And we went 5-7. So I have the power. And I'm predicting us to a mediocre average season. So, well... We're gonna sign off, everybody. Dylan, where can people find you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook? What else is there? What other Snapchat?
I don't want to be found on that many things. Let's just find me on @AirRaidPodcast and find us here twice a week going into football season. You're gonna get a preview and a post podcast every week. Book it. Subscribe. Do what you need to do. Listen to the Air Raid podcast.
That's what I'm talking about. Jeremy, where can they find you on Flickr, TikTok, Whisper?
Any more you want to list off?
Yik Yak.
Yik Yak.
R.I.P. Yik Yak.
All recipes. Find me at All Recipes. I'm going to go with Dylan here. Forget me. Follow @ViewTheMatadors so you can stay up to date on all the articles we're going to be pushing out this fall. And we'll be retweeting, of course, the Air Raid podcast to keep you guys flooded with Viva the Matadors BS.
Nice, nice. Jacob, where can people find you on MZ? What about WhatsApp, Tumblr,
MZ,
Pinterest,
Grindr?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I think he's got an Etsy shop too.
Yeah, you guys come buy your custom whatever's on my Etsy page. It's at This Doesn't Exist 1-2-3.
Jacob is a new graduate. So, what? I mean, if you want to get him on LinkedIn, you have a LinkedIn, right, Jacob? Yeah, LinkedIn. That's actually a good LinkedIn. One. So, I took your quality suggestion there.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a good quality one. Y'all can find me at Air Raid Podcasts, along with my personal Twitter at JacobHarris_55.
Nice. And of course, like the guys have said, at Air Raid Podcast, we're gonna drill it into your heads. Follow us on there. As always, the great tweets are from myself. The bad tweets are from the other jabronis. And other quality tweets at Mr_IllBeSure. Don't forget the Mister. And at Viva the Matadors. Don't forget that. Follow the home team at Viva the Matadors. And then follow corporate because they pay us. So at SB Nation. Follow us all. Okay. Follow us all. That's the main thing. We're in for an exciting season. We're in for an exciting college football's back. Like that's even when Tech sucks, at least we get to watch real good quality college football. Michael Crabtree just got signed by the Arizona Cardinals officially. So football in general is back.
Kyler Murray is a chia pet.
Kyler Murray is a chia pet. 100%. So for Dylan, for Jeremy, for Jacob, for the muted Tyler, and for myself, my name is I'll Be Sure with Viva the Matadors, SB Nation, and the Air Raid Podcast. Stay wrecked, everyone.